Our scripture this morning comes from the end of a series of sermons and words and messages that God gave to Moses and Moses gave to the people. So we are getting kind of the end of a series of conversations, a series of admonitions, a series of words on how we should live and how we should be together. So as we listen to the scripture that is set before us this morning, we do so eavesdropping on the end of a message. I would encourage you in your spare time, if you have any, to read Deuteronomy from the beginning all the way through to this passage and beyond. It's a passage that talks about having a choice. And at this stage of the text, it is an educated choice. Listen now for the word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Because thy promise we believe, Lamb of God, we come. We come this morning overwhelmed by your presence. We come this morning overwhelmed that you offer us a choice. We come this morning, individual, collective, a community, gathered, bearing witness to your word, bearing witness to your very presence, bearing witness to the call that you have placed on our lives to simply be. Lamb of God, we come. We come asking you to speak to us, give peace to us, encourage us and strengthen us. Remind us to see you in one another. Remind us to see you in all whose eyes we meet. Remind us that you have called us to be your love in this world. And now, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For God, you and you alone are our rock. You are our strength. You are our redeemer. And all of God's people said amen and amen. The song lyrics include the phrase, O Lamb of God, I come. And as I listened to Crystal singing, I thought to myself, Lamb of God, I come, but I'd much rather sit here and just bask in the afterglow of the sound of Crystal's voice. But the message that God has given us in the sound of Crystal's voice. So I'm grateful that Crystal has chosen to share her gift in this place with these God's people. Sometimes when we think about choices can be a bit overwhelming. There are so many choices. Sometimes it's hard to decide which way to go, which thing to choose. There's more to say about choices, but I want to start with a genuine word of gratitude to each person who chose to be in this space this morning. There's no shortage of churches in Philadelphia or New Jersey for that matter. There's no shortage in church houses of worship, but you chose this one. And so for that, I am grateful. I don't take for granted that every Sunday we have a choice about where we can spend our time. We can spend it at what I like to call bedside Baptist, with a word from Pastor Pillow. We can spend it at the church that's closest to our home that doesn't require us to go very far. We can spend it with family and friends at a place with cloth napkins and where they scrape the toast crumbs from in front of you and bring you more mimosas than your heart and stomach can hold. But you have chosen this place, and we are grateful. We are grateful that you've chosen Arch Street as the seat for your corporate worship this morning. And for those of you who are listening to the sermon online, thank you for choosing us virtually. And we hope that someday when the choice is clear and it is easy for you, that you will join us here in the sanctuary and see all of these folks who have chosen this particular space. So, choices, church or brunch, choices, this church or that church, choices, church or sleep a little later, choices, paper or plastic, fries or a salad, regular or unleaded, domestic or imported, tap or sparkling, only in Philadelphia, New York Times or Philadelphia Inquirer, public school or private school, state school or Ivy League, Uber or Lyft. Would you like to add a dollar for insert name of charity here before checking out with all of your groceries? Would you like that in PDF or would you prefer paper copy? Choices. Choices mark the American way. It seems that we're inundated with innumerable choices about so many aspects of our lives, and it is our sense of individualism that loves making these choices. It makes us feel like we have power. It makes us feel like we have some say. I can choose what I want, and I can have it my way. To my mother's absolute horror, this morning I chose to wear pants to church. Not just to church, but in the pulpit. For my mother, pants in church was not a choice. It was not an option. It's not a thing that you do. So don't tell. I grew up in a household where choices were framed kind of like this. You can do what I'm asking you and live to see another day. Or you can get this whooping and do what I asked you to do and maybe live to see another day. And when I became a parent, you know, I read some books, and so I parented differently, and I gave my child real choices. Would you like Cheerios or Cheerios and milk? Would you like to eat here or would you like to go home and eat? Would you prefer this outfit or this one? It was important to give two clear choices when she was tiny and prone to falling out in the floor. It was important to make her feel empowered and feel like she had some say in some of these decisions. And as she grew older, I would amend the choices to things like this. Honey, you can either do your homework, hand it in, and get that grade, or you can explain to your grandparents why you can't spend the summer with them because you got an F in this class and you have to go to summer school. Choices. It's your choice. And I would imagine that in her very wise teenage brain that did not let it spill out of her mouth, she probably wanted to say, what in the forced choice is that? I believe in giving children choices. I believe it fosters their independence, but I also believe there is something important about our choices that we tend to overlook. Many of our choices are actually forced choices made in the wake of choices that were already made for us. One of my absolute favorite scenes in the movie, The Devil Wears Prada, is where the young Andy scoffs at the process of selecting a belt from two options which she thinks look exactly alike, and Miranda Priestly, who runs the fashion magazine, unleashes a monologue that I recommend that you watch after church, because Meryl Streep. But it includes a line that I think serves us this morning. She says, as only Meryl Streep can say, with ice on every syllable, it's sort of comical how you think you made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry, when in fact, you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff. I wonder if there are industries that find it comical that we think we're actually making choices that exempt us from those industries, when in fact, those industries have done the work for us and have gifted us with the very easy work of choosing what they have placed before us. I will never forget when I shopped at Nordstrom for the very first time, and I was in the shoe department, and there were three pairs of shoes, and the saleswoman was very honest with me. And she said, well, this is what we do. We bring out the lower priced shoe because, you know, some people want what they can't afford, but they don't want to leave empty handed. We bring out the mid-range shoe because some people are concerned with the price, but they also don't want to pay the big price, but they don't want the cheap shoe. Thought, did you just call the first option cheap? And then there's the high-end shoe, because some people just want to be able to say they bought the most expensive shoe out of all of the choices. So which shoe would you like? I left and got a cookie and decided I didn't need shoes because I didn't like the way the choices were presented. The choices had been made for me, and I was just choosing from some pre-selected choices. This text was not originally addressed to American Christians. It was originally addressed to a migrant people who had been delivered from Egyptian captivity, another place where choices had been made for them, work or die. Later, after some revisions, this text was again given to people who had survived Babylonian captivity. But no matter when the text is read, both times include the word today. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. No matter when the text is read, in its original, in the second go-round, or in our hearing of the text, today is an important marker in the text. Every day we have the choice to live as God's covenant people or to live as a different kind of people, to live as people with no covenant with God, people who don't believe in anything, people who have no hope. We can try to live as God's people, but as Yoda said to the young Luke Skywalker, try not, do or do not. There is no try. The text doesn't offer us the choice to try to be God's people, to try to choose to live a particular way. It's not an ultimatum, and it's not a cruel choice set before us by an industry that has everything to gain and nothing to lose. This is a real choice given to the original hearers and given to us by a real God who already called all of us into covenant. This is a pastoral choice presented by a loving God who has already established a relationship with us, a relationship that's actually more beneficial to us than it is to the God who offers it. Imagine that. Imagine having the power to give someone a choice and you make yourself the more vulnerable party in offering up the choice. Not a thing that humans do, and certainly not a thing Americans tend to do. We protect ourselves at all costs. If I give you a choice, it's not going to be a choice to harm me or not harm me. It's going to be a choice that I've laid before you, and I'm going to make you think it serves you when actually it might serve me. That's not how God sets up this choice. God says, I love you so much that there is nothing you can do that would harm me beyond breaking my heart. And even if you did that, I would forgive you because I am your God and you are my people. And that is what love looks like. How we respond to God's invitation from within our covenant agreement impacts the nature and future of our lives together. When we say yes to the choice that God gives us to live as covenant people, that means you've always got people. It means you're never alone. It means there's always someone who has your back. It means there's always someone who will pull you back when you start acting a little out of sorts. There's someone to care for you when you're sick. There's someone to care for you as you age. There's someone to care for you even when you're not even aware that you need care. Covenant agreement means you've got people. It means someone is showing God's love to you in ways that you have not anticipated and cannot imagine, and it doesn't ever run out. There's no statute of limitations on the covenant agreement. When we respond first as people of a national kind of citizenship, we run the risk of choosing right but executing in a manner that's less than what God would expect. It wouldn't be February if I didn't quote Frederick Douglass, but Frederick Douglass said, between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference, so wide that to receive the one as good, pure, and holy is of necessity to reject the other as bad, corrupt, and wicked. The choice to live as God's people is a choice to be courageous and to go against the grain. The choice to live as God's people is to remember Egyptian bondage and refuse to repeat it, either on the end of the slave or on the end of the slave master. The choice to be God's covenant people and to choose life means choosing life not only for our own good, but choosing life for all who are part of this covenant agreement. And there is no wristband, there is no hand stamp, so it behooves us to treat everyone as if they are part of the covenant agreement. This is what it means to choose life and not death, to not bring death to someone else as you pursue life. Performer, singer, actor, and fabulousness on the red carpet, Billy Porter knows this very well. Billy Porter knows the cost of choosing to be who he is in all of its grandiosity. Just by the nature of making the choice to be true to who I am, I'm political. Sometimes that's all you need to do. Show up and be black, gay, and Christian in America and say it out loud and refuse to let anything or anyone take that away from you. Surely he irritates some, and something he's doing the most, and he's just too outrageous. But what Billy Porter does is gives freedom and gives life and gives space to those who don't have the red carpet, to those who don't have his fashion designers, to those who are afraid to live in the fullness of the life that perhaps they have not chosen, but they have embraced. Perhaps his freedom allows others to be free, and that's what it means to choose life. Perhaps his freedom allows us to love others instead of condemning others, and perhaps even if we don't like how he does it, we can applaud that he does it. As he chooses life, he gives life to others. This sermon from Moses reminds us to consider the very possible ways we can choose life. Simply put, earlier in the book, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's what it looks like to choose life. Give to the poor, but also give ourselves over to the ways in which poverty might become a thing of the past and not just a part of everyday life in America. Fight for justice, Do not stand for injustice. Care for those who are hurting, but first do no harm. Treat others fairly. Share food with the hungry, but provide access for them to obtain their own food so that they might share with others. Give access where there were once only restrictions. Show compassion where there was once only judgment. Raise a voice in the silence of consent, or pass the mic and yield the floor to one who has been silenced. Shift the balance of power even when it feels like it's at a personal loss. There are also sacred possibilities for choosing life. Abundant life includes the fight for justice, but it also includes sharing life together in joyful ways. Learn the things that you thought you were too old to learn. Enjoy the simple things, like the sound of a child's voice coming from the back of a huge sanctuary. Play with the children, hold the children, love the parents of the children, laugh as loud as you can from your very toes until you are absolutely hoarse and crying tears of joy, but cry when you need to cry. The ugly cry, the sobbing cry, the cry that releases all that you have held on to all this time because you didn't think you had people. And God's covenant says, laugh when it's time to laugh, cry when it's time to cry, but you will never laugh nor cry in solitude. Surround yourself with what you love, whether it's family, friends, pets, music, nature, or silence. Surround and submerge yourself in the things that give you life. Gather with your friends and let them remind you of what a good life you have. Read a book of poetry. Read a comic book. Read a book of anime. Do something so someone else doesn't have to. Apologize to someone even if it was his fault. And forgive someone even if she doesn't seem to deserve it. Have patience in the time where people need patience. But when it is time to tell the truth, stop pretending that patience is a virtue. Figure out what you hope for and live in that hope. Live with that hope. Live so fully that you give others a share of your hope. How else can we choose life? The third way is to worship with all our heart, to pray genuinely, to believe that God hears your prayers and will answer your prayers, but also to believe that God loves you with all of God's heart. Remember and read the stories in the book that have been handed down generation after generation. See the image of Christ in the people around you. Share God's love with someone who deeply needs it, but may reject it. See that all of life is holy. Open your heart to the Spirit. Search for something deeper than your own comfort. Let God make your life wonderful. And know that when God makes your life wonderful, it's like surgery without anesthesia. It will hurt sometimes. It will cause you to leave some parts of yourself. It will cause you to grow new parts of yourself that you have left behind. But let God make your life wonderful. Sing. Full-throated, flat-footed, off-key, not knowing the words, clapping on the 1 and 3 instead of the 2 and 4, but sing. Sing to the Lord. Sing and rejoice with the voices that have been singing throughout the ages. Sing a hymn. Sing some gospel. Sing country music. Sing rock music. Sing whatever makes your heart glad. And today, in just a moment, the choir is going to lead us. The choir is going to guide us. But you are invited to sing and to be reminded that we started out a long time ago. Sing for those who started with us 10 years ago, who are still here, who are still active, who are still lifting their voices and offering their gifts to this church. Sing and remember that we started out a long time ago, and there was probably some doubt in our minds. We have 10 years of history to remove the doubt. We have decided to make Jesus our choice. Jesus has already chosen to covenant with us. God has already chosen to covenant with us. This is an easy choice. So today, as Moses did, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. I encourage you. I implore you. I challenge you to choose life.